tonight we are continuing with our Pomo honoring events. I'm thinking that it's really warm. If you get too warm and you need to open the door, just let me know.
One more cup of tea, I'll be all right.
Okay. I have opened the back door tonight, so welcome. There's some chairs over there. So we're continuing with our Pomo honoring events. Last week we had Sandy Easto here, and she talked about her painting for the Pomo project. And tonight I'm really happy to welcome back to Many Rivers Armando Williams, who is a Pomo spiritual healer and massage therapist. And he will be talking tonight about healing through Pomo medicine. Thank you for coming to Many Rivers. I appreciate it.
So it's my turn.
Now it's your turn.
First of all, I just want to say that what I passed around is one of our spiritual medicines. It's to help clear the air, it's to help balance ourselves, it's to lay out intentions. I took it outside and I went over here and smudged all the way around. I came back and smudged over there. And what I did was I proclaimed that this is my space. This is my spiritual boundary. And we are going to be doing the work tonight. It's not only about me and what I've learned and what I've been through. It's about what comes up for you guys and that part of that healing process for ourselves. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm a Pomo from Poinarena, Manchester. And my great-grandmother's from Kashaya. And my great-grandfather's from Laytonville, California. In our oral tradition, it got too hot over there in the valley, so he went over to the coast. That's how I became. That's how it all got started. So, I'm going to start off tonight. Pretty much, I'm going to sing a blessing song, and I'm going to describe our beautiful regalia. This is my personal dance regalia, and describe the birds. And talk a little bit about the stories behind the birds, and I'm going to talk about the flicker band, which is a very, very powerful piece in our culture. And then I'm going to talk about the medicine. I'm going to talk about the pepperwood and the basholka that you guys are passing around. And I'll talk a little bit about our roundhouse. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the roundhouses and the places where the equivalency is a church, our roundhouses. So, we go there for blessings, and we go there to dance. So I'm going to start off by, saying a prayer and singing a blessing song in a good way. Ask y'all call today to come in, just bless us with His presence and any of your guys' spirit guides that come in here. That they're all here in a good way, and we're all able to be here and do the work ourselves. One big thing that I'm big on is to be real with yourself, to be real with who you are inside yourself. And when you start becoming that, when you start becoming real, then your intentions are thrown out in the universe. That I want to do this or I want to achieve this. And so I'm going to be real with that issue. So, this song is a song that comes from Poinarena, Manchester. It's a big head warm-up song. So what doing is calling the spirits in, and so that all of our guides will be here tonight. So when I sing this song, and I want to ask you guys to if you want, you can visualize putting your hand out. I put your hand like this to receive the medicine from your creator, from your God, whether it be Krishna, or whether it be the Dalai Lama, or whether it be Jehovah, whether it be God, whoever you are. Whoever you pray to at the end of the night, the last 5 minutes before you go to bed, whoever you talk to before you go to bed, that's who I want you to bring up in front of you. And it can be anything, a power animal, your spirit animal, your spirit guide. And just become familiar with them and talk to that being. Tell that being you love it. And that being is going to tell you that it loves you. And then put poet in your heart. So I'm going to sing this warm-up song, and then after that we'll start doing some good medicine. Yeah, we are. Come and sit down. You guys wait for you guys. Sometimes, you know, when you move out of the way and you allow spirit to come in you, it kind of it takes a little bit to like kind of shake that off because you get into a really deep state. You know, especially when you're working on somebody or when you're touching them and you're praying with them or praying for them, you know, when you step out of it, you got to remember that you're human and that, you know, you open yourself up to be that conduit to start that healing process for the people. So, you know, my access is a lot faster, you know, just through the teachings that I've been taught since I was a boy. I want to give a quick overview about the Pomo people, the original inhabitants of this part of the region. Lake County, Mendocino County, Sonoma County is our ancestral boundaries. And we had boundaries that range from the coastline all the way to Cache Creek. That's our boundary over there. A lot of people think it stops at the lake, but it doesn't. It goes over there, the last of the Pomo tribe, and there's songs that still come from there. Songs that were taught from those old ones that came over to Lake County, and so now they're keeping those songs together. And I'll sing one of those songs later on, a Lake County song that I was given permission to sing. And then from here all the way up to Laytonville, that's where our boundaries stop. That's where the Kato people, a real small band, the Kato, my great grandfather's people. Inhabited Laytonville, and so that's our boundaries and very abundant resources. I mean, I was reading this book, and this anthropologist said that the Pomo people were a superior civilization based on the fact that we had an abundance of natural resources. We lived in relative peace. We understand creator laws, and we understood the way to live in a good way, and so we were constantly in peace. And if there was friction or if there was any inner turmoil, it was dealt on the outside of the village, and someone was paid in a good way to come and deal with it. You know? So I really, really am proud of that. I really have a lot of pride in being that type of a person. I try to live it in a good way all the time. And so our major food source was acorns, and that was a staple, just like the Hawaiians had poi. Ours was acorns, and we had big caches, huge. I mean, big caches that were like from seasons upon seasons, but they knew how to take care of it. They understood. And a lot of the old ones say that the there were certain songs for the acorns that gave us the ability to talk to the acorns. They give it intention and say, "Look, we're going to keep you here for a little bit, you know, and just don't go bad on this." And they knew how to take care of it. They knew how to dry it. Right? They knew how to bring it out and stir it, you know. What I found out was that in the old days, the women went to the tribes of the men that they were together with. Because the men had a thorough understanding of the region. They knew where to hunt. They knew when to hunt and when not to hunt. They knew where to gather. And so the women went there. And I thought the whole time that the men went with the women. And then I was, you know, someone told me that. This elder told me that. And I was pretty surprised, you know. Because I was, I was learning something. Something brand new, you know. And so then those women from that tribe went to the men's, you know. So just kind of, it was a good trade, you know. But I mean, I really think about back in the day how it was to like hunt and how it was to be in sync with Mother Earth, and you know, certain songs that were sang to the trees, certain songs that were sang to the animals, certain songs were sang to the wind, to the night. There was only certain songs that you sang at night. So, you know, and,
It was just, it would have been so awesome to be back then. You know? But for some reason, Yakovta gave me the ability to be here at this time, at this place, you know. And so I guess I'm going to talk a little bit, after, you know, kind of talk about the Pomo people in the old days, you know, very, very lucky that they, you know, still had that good medicine, you know, and they're really thorough in keeping it, in keeping it, you know, surviving. Because, I mean, the medicine I know, my great-great-grandchildren are going to know. You know, so that is it's a lot of pride. In that. There's a lot of pride that I know creation stories from before European contact. I know creation stories from grandfather to grandfather to grandfather. And, I just feel so blessed that my grandfather even opened up to me, because he's this old Indian man, and he's like, you know, he won't tell anybody anything. You know. But through this whole Pomo project, he's like, I need you to come stay with me. I want to talk to you and tell you stuff. So, right. So that's my gift, you know. That's my gift from doing this Pomo project in a good way. And again, thank you guys for coming in. And, you know, better late than never, you know what I mean? So you do it, man. Exactly. That's what we call Indian time right there.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, if you don't eat, I'm good. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about our dance regalia and the stories behind our dance regalia. In the old days, yeah, I asked all the old ones, I said, how were these created? Who thought of these? At what point was a human being from this specific region sitting down and just doing this? I was like, and I was trying to ask them, how did you come to the conception? You know, how did you put these black feathers together and puff them out? And what was the stitch? You know, this is very time consuming. And they said it was dreamt. That they knew the language and the songs to talk to the birds, and the birds told them, this is how you honor us. And this is what we want you to do. So these are Sheikha, this is first level of our people, first level. Our Sheikha dances, and this is what we dance out in public. There's a lot of medicine in all this right here, as I take care of it in a good way, the right way. And so, you know, through the songs, they were telling us, okay, we want you to sew it this way, we want you to stitch it this way. And this is our back piece, and this is predominantly used in the Lake County people. So if you ever read books on Lake County people, you'll see these. And what they do is they put them back here. So it's like, like you ever see a wooded blue jay, where they have that back shoot, and then you see the magpie has that black shoot, and they got the long tails. So that's a bird that we mimic, because they're very just very strong, you know, just confident too, you know. And so that's what we do. We shake our heads, we move, and so, you know. I'm teaching you this so that when you guys see dancing, you guys will understand, okay? Look, I remember Mondo said that. That's why they move their head, you know. And every time we move our head, we're blessing somebody. When we come up to someone, just, that's a blessing, you know. Just in the roundhouse, it's even, you know, I'll explain that later, but in the roundhouse, it's even better, because it's a pure blessing, you know. It's coming across, you know. So this is called a back piece, and this is a raven. This is a raven, and this is Ingrid, white Ingrid. I got this over there, over in Sacramento Valley. I was going to do some doctoring work over there with this grizzly bear doctor. I don't know if you ever get a chance to read his book. It's very powerful. Bobby Tom Lake. I don't know if any of you guys know him. Charlie Tom, his dad. But I went 5 minutes into his car, and he was driving down the highway. Next thing you know, there's that Ingrid bird laying right there. I looked at him. I said, man, you are powerful. So we pulled over, gave some tobacco, picked it up, boom. Because I was trying to manifest this white bird. Because I knew that these two needed to be together. The raven and the Ingrid. You know, those are my birds. Those are the ones that I do my work with. And so the Creator gave me a sign that I was on the right path and gave me this bird in a good way. And so this is Ingrid and Raven. So this is a back piece for us, but predominantly in Lake County. A lot of the back tail feathers are starting to come this way now, because a lot of our dancers are getting more exposure to different regions, different areas. It wasn't like the old days, where it was like we really had to pray and put intention out and we'd be walking down the trail, then we see a bird right there that gave its life to us so that we can dance it. Now you just drive back down the highway, look, there's a hawk right there, come right over, pick it up. You know? The other day I was in Napa, we were doing a dance at a mountain called Powwow, and there was a hawk on the other side, so I'd pull over, and I ran across there, I was going to get it, and I was all ready to put tobacco on. Here comes the lights. Cop pulled over and said, "Hey, what the hell are you doing out here?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to get this bird." He said, "I can't let you do it." I said, "All right, well, I'll be back later then." You know. But I didn't come back anyway. So. It was just too much. But,
I thought Native people were allowed to pick them up.
You know, I've talked to a lot of Native brothers in the Sacramento Valley, and a lot of them have came up with the same thing. Like they're about ready to give their offerings and put some tobacco down, or put some hair if they don't got no tobacco, or some angelica root. But the cops pulled up and said, "No, it's an endangered species. You can't take it." You know? And I was like, "Did you pull your Indian card out?" I said, "No." I said, "Yeah, you should try that." And they said, "This shit still wouldn't work anyways, because it's an endangered species. I said, "Man, they live pretty good in Sebastopol. They live right up under those trees over there." That's why I go to pick them sometimes. Anyway, so this is a skirt. This is a dancing skirt, and I want to remind you that these were dreamt. These costumes were dreamt. These regalias were dreamt by dreamers a long time ago, long before me and my grandfather. And it just still amazes me. Like, how did the Great Spirit communicate to us human beings to put it on a net? See, that's a net. To make the net with sinew, with natural sinew. All those feathers, they were hand carved. I carved them out, and then I put some of them sinewed when I didn't carve them right. But there's over 150 feathers, I think. And this took me one whole year to gather all this in a good way. Every single feather is on that. And there's a certain style, you know, it's like I spent a lot of nights moving them and making sure they look good. So this is my skirt. It's a raven and ingrate. And it was amazing. I went over to Chausse 2 years ago in the Roundhouse. They have a big time there. It's the last weekend in September. If you ever get a chance next year, really beautiful, beautiful big time. And I look in, and they had this museum in the park. And I look, and I seen this dancing skirt. And it was the same skirt that I was visioning in my walk. And there it is, right there. But in that other one, can you hold that? Just hold that up there. But in the other one, there was the all white right here. Mm-hmm. And it looked, and I looked at it, and I said, "Man, that is a beautiful one." I said, "Man, I keep seeing that. I keep seeing that in my mind, in my visions, you know." And then, damn. So we put this on the back. And there's a feather song, we call them. So that goes on the back like this. And so imagine having that and this on, you know, and then just bouncing. And you could really feel the difference in different birds, different power birds when you dance. And really open yourself up to Yakofte. That's what we call God in Pomo in my region. You know, other ones like Lake County calls him Imit. Imik is the word for God over there. And over on the coast, it's Yakofte. And then, it just still blows my mind. Like, man, like, how did the Creator tell this man to do this? And man to be open to receiving it. Mm-hmm. For man to be open and put in all other prejudice, putting all other thoughts, putting all other projections aside and say, "I will listen to you and I will create this for the people to be passed on generations upon generations." And so these are our horns. These are what we put in our head when we, I don't know if anybody's ever seen Pomo dance. How many people have seen Pomo dancing before? Raise your hand. You see the antlers that come up? See the antlers that shoot out? And so these are my power birds again. And so they go up like this, and so they mimic deer antlers. Mm-hmm. So when you're moving around, you're just looking around, you know. And there's certain levels, you know, like so the little guys are little short ones, but mine are like I like some buck status. Four pointer.
So these are antlers for our dance regalia
to mimic the deer, to mimic the birds. And so we bring them. You know, so these go on the side of this. So then it would come together like that. And so then, you know, it's shaped like that. And that's more, this style right here is more predominantly Lake County style, which, I mean, they're very interesting pomos. I mean, you think you understand all of them, you think you studied a lot, man, there's still more. I mean, I talked to this elder the other day and I asked him, you know, teach me a oral tradition about the flicker bird, and I'll explain to you later. And it was just amazing. I mean, I could have sat with him for like 2 hours on the phone and be like, yeah, give me more. But that's the thing, when they start seeing good medicine, when they start seeing someone walking in a good way, then they want to give you more. Okay, he can understand this now, so I'm going to give him this story. Then I'm going to give him this value. I'm going to give him this principle. I'm going to give him this belief system about Yakapate. So it's like, you know, just the more work we do, it's just the better that it gets, and the more open that the old ones are, open to giving us, you know. And I'm just really, really just proud of the old ones even keeping the old ones together, and especially having to go to boarding school, having to a long time ago not be Indian, having to be Mexican, and having to say that we are Latino for fear of, you know, repercussion, or fear of being pushed down, you know. And then a lot of alcoholism. You know, a lot of alcoholism went on the reservation, a lot of emotional, sexual, physical, mental, spiritual abuse happened on the reservation, you know. But that, you know, that's a whole other story. You know, that's the other side of our culture. That's the other side of our people. That's the other side that I'm happy that I don't have to live like that. I'm happy that I don't have to be in that state, in what we call third world. I mean, that's how it is in some reservations. You know, it's like I hear a lot of Lakotas up in Pine Ridge are like that, and it just, you know, it makes my heart sad. I do what I can, but mostly what I do is I pray for them. You know, I pray for those little ones that at nighttime that don't have a blanket. You know, pray that Yakapate just goes in and just love him up, or love her up, and just get him more energy. So, but anyways, this is what we hold for dancing. You know, we'll come up and, you know, just hold it like this, and someone, you know, we feel like someone needs to be blessed. Give them a little blessing up, bless them, touch them a little bit on the back. Yahweh, just put a throat on the ground a little bit, wherever he had on him. It's on the ground over there. You know. That's what I like to do. You know, most people, they'll have dancing sticks with beads or anything. But this is what Yakapate told me to use. This is what he said, okay, this is the vision. I want you to make something like this, and you have it. Boom, so when I dance, I just, just move around. And, you know, like at the Sebastopol flea market, I was dancing, and then we quit, and then I turned around and I was dancing again. There's all these elders that just came sat in the front. I said, "Oh, all right, then, well, here's my job." So I just went to everyone. Oh, yeah. I was sitting there receiving. I just loved them up, opened it up. So
that's pretty much the basic. Oh wait, the best. I shouldn't say the best. I should say very unique. Because all of it is the same. This is a flicker band that is a very powerful bird. I don't know if you guys know. It's a flicker bird, yellow shafted flicker bird. And this is all the wings. If you open the wings up, all those orange feathers, and then on the tail, you know, like this. This bird right here, I don't know if you guys can, that's what we call over in Lake County, they call it yellowhammer. Over here we call it flicker bird, soulful. So this is that bird that is all pieced together with sinew. So these are all the wings of these birds. This is a 20-inch full-grown adult flicker band right here. And this design, that design right there in the middle with the black tails, that says I'm from the coast. That's a coast design, specifically for the coast people. The black in between like that. you look on any of the old books and you see that design, and on the bottom it'll say that's a coast man. So this is a flicker bird. This is a picture that was done by Sandy Eastoak right there. And I was blown away when she showed me this. I was like, oh my God, you know, I was like, whoa. Gosh. No one's captured a flicker bird like that. You don't see pictures and stuff. But seeing it captured with like this, you know, that tells me that the flicker bird and that flicker spirit was talking to Sandy and telling her the stories. And this is how I want you to honor me, the same way these birds were telling me to honor them and my ancestors. So the birds are talking to us. And so this is like 16 birds. And these birds come specifically from the Sacramento Valley, because they're brighter, the orange are bright, you know, and they're a lot bigger. Mm. And I special ordered this one right here. This cost me $700 for this. Mm. And it was not a wasted $700, because this has a lot of medicine. My great-grandchildren are going to dance this when they get older. They're going to dance this. And a couple more.
How do you wear that?
Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, so you just put it in front like that. So then we just dance. You know, we just look around. And the power that is in this flicker band is the power when you look through it and you look at somebody, you have the power to see what's going on inside them. You have the power to see if they, when you're tuned in with Yakapate, you have the power to see what needs to happen for this person. What kind of medicine can you give this person? And, you know, but that's just in the dance level, you know. I mean, for doctoring, it would be a different whole scenario. Me and her would come and sit in a space and I'd sing a song and I'd figure out what's going on with her. But this is, I would be able to see what was going on, if she's good or if she's bad. And, you know, sometimes we get a little close and we try to dance in front of them, try to scare that off them, you know. Scare it off or have them give it to me so then I can put it on these feathers. And then later on, I go wash these feathers off, or I go clear them off. You know, and there's a lot more, and that's just a little bit of the power of this. And this bird, why it's so powerful for us? It's the only bird that eats out of the alderberry tree. That's the only bird that will eat anything from the alderberry tree. And the alderberry tree to us is a gift from Yakapate, a specific gift, because it gives us. It gives us the clackers that we can sing and get connected to. It gives us the berries to eat so that we can purify ourselves. It gives us the leaves to drink. And then it gives us the root. In the old days, you know how they have peyote? They have all this other stuff, you know, the medicinal stuff you take. And it takes you to another level, or it opens you up to receive consciousness in a good way, or the conduit. Alderberry, we used to soak it for a long time, and then the medicine men, they'd sit there and they'd smoke tobacco, and they'd have their drink, and they'd sit there, drink it, smoke cigarette after or tobacco after tobacco, and the patient would sit right there, and say, okay, I'm gonna sing a song now, and after that, I'm gonna figure out what's going on with you. But at that point, he started going into another state. He started going into with the alderberry root that was giving him that power, you know, and he was just. Sit there and he'd sing a song, and next thing you know, his spirit guides would tell him what was going on with them. And so that's the reason why we chose the flicker bird as one of the, and it's a fire bird. It's a very fire bird. And the story behind how come the flicker bird turned orange was a long time ago, when birds and animals talked to each other, you know, in a certain language. The male flicker bird, he left, and he went to go out and hunt and gather. And so, in that time, this bear comes walking in. He comes walking into the camp, you know, walking in and sitting next to the fire. And then there's the mother flicker bird sitting there, and, you know, it's like, she's helpless. That bear's so much bigger than her, you know, and he was bossing her around and telling her, go do this and go do that, go cook for me, or go make me this, or go clean my fur. And so, and she had to do it, you know. She was so much littler than that big bear, you know. And so then here comes the male flicker come flying in. Boom. He's like, what's going on? You know, and he's seen that bear sitting there and seen his wife having to do stuff, you know. And then so that, and so he couldn't do anything. He's trying to tell man, leave, and he wouldn't leave. And so he's seen this rock, these rocks next to the fire. They're real orange. So he went over there, put his wings around it, put his tail around it, and grabbed it and jumped up and threw it on that bear. He hit that bear in the head, and then that bear still was kind of staying there. So he ran over there to the fire again and grabbed it and jumped up and just threw it at him again. And then finally, after a couple of times, that bear left. And then the flicker bird was, you know, it was all smoke coming up, ash on his chest. He opened his wings, and they were all orange like those glowing rocks. So that's the creation story of how the flicker bird got its orange wings. So if you can remember that story, you can tell, you know, you can tell that story to people. You know. So, and this is one thing that I use when I dance is coal. Coal from an old fire, our blessed fire that I've made, and you know, bless and do certain medicine with my feathers, and like I'll get some water and I'll grind it up real fine. You ever see those pictures? I don't know if you ever seen pomo pictures of the paint on people's faces, their chest and their arms, and what they're doing is they're putting all that on there that's from the fire, and they're taking all that from those people, and it's going onto them, and it's going into the blackness, into all that paint. And so then when they go wash off, they're washing off all those people's sickness. So if you see me and you see all that blackness, if something's going on with you, all you got to do is just pray, okay, just I'm going to give this to Manasa because I know he's going to go back and he's going to wash off the head of me, so he's going to take the sickness from me. So that's what I do. That's my level. You know, a lot of younger ones, a lot of other brothers my age, you know, they can't really handle that medicine yet, and so they don't do this, or they weren't taught by an old one yet to use this. This is another form, you know. And so that's, you know, that's how I get dressed. And then we have a lot of really elaborate beadwork. You know, we have front belts, we have armbands, we have necklaces, but I don't have any because I just haven't felt the need to have them yet. You know, I just not really kind of wanted them. You know, it'd be nice to have them, but I mean, I guess I like to keep it earthy, you know, keep it just real, just, you know, down to earth. And, you know, my grandpa, he always said, oh, they'll show off. That's all they want to do is just show off and fly around, you know. And so this is a musical instrument. This is what we use. We call this a butta butta. This is a clacker. And this one I just got from my cousin, and this is made out of bamboo. And it just amazed me every time I open one. I just say, how did Yakapude tell that human being to split a bamboo stick down the middle to make this sound? You know, and to cut this hole out, let alone, you know, just to shape it right. You know? How did Yakapude, what language did he use, you know, to bring it into a good place? You know? So this is a bamboo clacker. I'll pass it around. You guys can, you know, hit it a little bit. And this is mine. This is the one I doctor with. This is the one I pray with. And this has all the bloodline, my sister's children and my sister's. All these lines are specifically made because of the bloodline that I have. And there's a lot of medicine. So every time I shake it, my sisters and my families are with me, you know. So And when it's broken, traditionally we're supposed to throw it in the fire. But most people say, why do you want to throw that into a fire? I mean, look at all, you have so much power in this. And I say, well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. You know, that's just how it's supposed to be. Just put it in there. So this is our clacker, and this is mine that I've had for about 10 years now. Kind of like the ring, you know. What an elder told me is like when you hold a clacker, you are, what they say, you are reaching and calling Yakapude. You're calling him like, hey, come in here. Because there's going to be some dancing going on. There's going to be some healing going on. So that's why we use a clacker. And we use a whistle. Our whistle is to make our calls, but like Tom Brown told me, he goes, you know, the whistle is a connection between our hearts and the coffee. So it's like
where the dancers are singing to him, you know. So it's like we're speaking to him and then we're waking him up too. And we're like, yeah, okay, here we go. We're waking him up. It's time to wake up. Do you hear the oldness in it? Like old, like it just reaches right into your heart, you know. And when he was telling me this, I was like, "This, like, oh my God, this is so like, oh, it just feels so good, you know, to hear that it's still here, that it's still going, you know, that they're still doing good." I think at this time I want to sing a feather song for us, you know. A feather song is a song where we get the feathers going, you know, and we have the feathers out there on the dance floor, you know, after they come out. And there's a whistle song, and then there's a two-step, one-steps. So, but these ones, you don't really have to close your eyes, you know, and pray, but you can if you want. You hear it all the time in this, you know. You can, yeah. Makes my heart feel so good, those little guys. Because that means that little guy and his great grandchildren are going to dance. That's how powerful that pomo medicine is. That little guy's grandchildren are going to dance that he doesn't even know he has yet or has a conception of it. So it's just really, really beautiful, you know. And that song comes over there from Lake County, and that's when they're just real, real powerful. That way, where they, you know, when they're out in the dance, they're just really just getting it, you know, stomping. A lot of the Lake County songs are really different than the coast songs and the valley songs. The valley songs are like, hey, 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 you know, it's like, that's a little bit about about our shake hand. I want to talk more about our spiritual medicine now. I don't know how much time do I have left.
20, 30 minutes.
Okay, cool. So this is Basholka, angelica root that was picked from Mount Shasta by my bear doctor that I always frequently go and re-weigh it up. And this is a root. And it's usually picked during the, if you want to pass it around, some of you guys already touch it and bless yourself off. But this is a root that is picked from the ground at a certain time of the year. Most medicine men, they'll pick it any time of the year, you know, when it's called to or they need more of. But usually, traditionally, it's picked during September. That's when they'll pick it all. And but they'll always leave an offering. They'll always put tobacco down it. If you don't have anything, you don't got no spiritual medicine or anything, just take a piece of your hair and pluck it and just put it down. That's an offering. You're offering yourself a tray for a tray, you know. And so this is like I always call it our second best, I'd say, you know, our second strongest, you'd say. And as dancers, we chew it. And so it allows us to get into a space of
of just moving out of the way and just letting the spirits of the birds that you're dancing, or the spirit of Yakovte, or the spirit of the ancestors, to come into you. So it's an access of power, and it's a clearing mechanism too. You know, you clear your body, you clear yourself, you clear your patient. You claim your space like I did earlier. You know, it's like I claim this space, this is mine. I'm going to hold this space for everybody that's in here. And we use it for tea. We drink it sometimes. We'll boil it, not feeling too good. Dolan said, boil it and then drink it, and you start getting better. I know I've tried it a lot, and sometimes, you know, you're going to see somebody that, you know, you really feel like you can't really have a communication with, or you feel like you need to really express yourself. You know, just put some in and just sit there and like often ease your mind and allow you to like start doing your own spiritual work, you know, when you're talking with this person and being real with them, you know. And this is really good. I always got it in my pocket, you know, you never know. And then we have, this is our pepper wood, but I think you guys all know it as bay leaf. You know, pass that around a little bit. And this is the strongest of our medicine. This is the one that makes everything all better. Spiritually, you know, you like, see, I have it hung on the door right there. And that right now is like an extra barrier. Like, okay, whatever. And what I'm speaking is from my truth. You guys have your own belief systems, okay? You guys have your own way. So this is a barrier, spiritual barrier. So everything that's bad has to stay out there. Whatever's going on with somebody, that has to stay out there, because it's a spiritual barrier. And so in the old days, and still now, a lot of our doctors, they hang it over the, they hang it over the seal, they hang it over the window seals. And, you know, you go into anybody's house for observation, and you look up and you see at the doors, oh, this house has been blessed. You know, that's good. Then you start feeling a bit better. You know? And so, you know, if you ever go pick any, you know, just leave some tobacco. Like today, me and Sandy went to her tree, and I actually paid a little bit more because I felt a little bit more. I needed to, because I haven't seen that tree in a while. You know, you paid some coins and some tobacco, and I put some water down there too to offer that tree in a good way. And so that's a part of our spiritual medicine right there, the strongest, and it's able to just make sure everything just stays away. Like I said, claim your space. You know, you go to any roundhouse, you go to any brush house, you're going to see a whole bundle of that on each pull, even on the outside door. You know, and even when you go camping, this old one told me, Mondo, when you go camping, you take that in your fire, you got that fire, you take a whole bunch of pepperwood, you burn that and let it burn down. And then you take that, all those ashes, and you just go around your campsite, all the way around. And that's a spiritual barrier that you're creating. And I never told Sandy that one, so that's a new one.
You told me, we did it.
So if you're using this in your home, is it just the doors that you put over?
You can put it over your windows, but where there's most traffic coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, like the grizzly bear doctor I go visit, we made some ties, and we had a whole bunch of that, and we had some tobacco and some angelic and some sage, and we just tied that, and it's in a bundle, and it's a big red bundle, so I just put that over my door. But I already, you know, my house is pretty much just really pretty much covered. You know? It's so that's what I do when I go and work with somebody. I'll use the pepperwood, you know, and I'll use the angelica, and I'll use sage too as well, you know, and sometimes I'll use tobacco. But usually the tobacco is in a different level. I'll roll the angelica bashoka. I'll roll that in the tobacco, and when I'm smoking, and I'm, you know, seeing what's going on with that patient, I'm able to blow some of that angelica and tobacco off. And so that's part of our doctrine. That's part of how I was taught to use the angelica root. And then there's other medicines that we have too, but you know, these ones are the ones that I use a lot, because I'm like, okay, this is the space, this is what I'm claiming. Because I'm going to start doing the work for this person, and everything else, just, you got to stay out. So, like I said, if you go and gather any of these,
always ask in a good way, you know, and say, you know, I'm not here to take all of you. I just want to use a little bit of you. And if I offend you, you know, tell me in a vision or a dream or a voice that I can understand, a language I can understand, and I'll make it right. I'll make the right payment. So, you know, even when you're taking from the cup of the tree, you know, always and always that, you know, leave a couple pennies. You know. A long time ago, we used to use clamshells, you know, but we don't, you know, a lot of us don't have that, so we leave pennies out.
Where do you get the tobacco? That's not indigenous to California, is it?
We used to have wild tobacco. That's what we used to have. Yeah. But like I said, I don't use a lot of tobacco. You know, when I do.
You said often that you leave the tobacco as an offering.
Yeah. If I don't have clamshells or pennies, you know, I'll find some tobacco and I'll just put it down. Like in my bag right now, I have tobacco in there. So in case I run into anything, just make the offering. Or if I don't have enough bashoka, mm-hmm. then I'll make that. You know, I'll use the tobacco for that. Yeah.
Bashoka is the
root? No, bashoka is the angelica root. Oh. Yeah. So, let's see. I don't know why there's red-tailed hawks are out there. I don't know if the creator just told me to put them out there. I wish I could show you guys pictures of our big head dances, the next level of feather dancing, and a little overview of our roundhouses. A long time ago, Yakalpate told the leaders to build a roundhouse, that was built with the earth covering it, so that when the great wind comes, that we can go into the roundhouse, everybody from the village can go to the roundhouse and be safe, and then when you come out, it'll be the old Indian way again. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it didn't happen. But, you know. And so now we use it as a place of prayer. We have our big head dances. And a big head dances is the ghost dance of 1870 came over here by a Paiute medicine man, came over here to Elam Indian Colony. And talk to the leaders there, and said, "I want you guys to call a meeting. I want to talk to the village." And told them that this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to dance. It's some of the instruments that are used are still remnants of the old Kupsu ceremony. You know, where the god was a crane. He had a crane nose, they had a mask and a crane nose, and that was replica of the god back in the day. Anyway, so the big heads that are now, their songs were dreamt. Style of the big heads, I mean, they're really big. Give me a chance, go online, Google big heads, and you'll see them. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen them or if you've ever seen them, but they're just long sticks, about this long, and halfway up there's feathers coiled around like this. So they're white feathers, black feathers coiled around like this, but they're like this big. and they're coiled like this, the next one, and then the next one. But imagine 200 of them on this head. It's big. I mean, elaborate. And there are nights where I just sit there, and I would, you know, because, I mean, I'd stay there all night for like 4 days in a row just watching these heads just go. Going just crazy. And I would say, what does that mean? How can I interpret that to Yakapta? And that to me is just enlightenment, you know, like, you know, when that man's holding those two clackers and that big head's way out there, and he's getting ready and they make that call, and then he turns around and he starts going and dancing around the fire, you know, four times, and they have the lead dancer that basically has this kind of stuff. And to be able to watch that and realize that what dance was from a long time ago, back in the 1870s, 1820s, 18, you know, back in the day, you know. So we still have the remnants of the ghost dance in this society, in this day and age, from a long time ago. But the society is very limited to the people that it'll let in. You know, like me, I'm very fortunate that my grandfather knows somebody, and that I play baseball with some of the dancers. I go do medicine with some of the other dancers or the captains. You know, I live next to one of the roundhouse captains in Mission, and he'd always tell me, come over here and sing those coast songs for me. And so I'd go sing those coast songs for him, and there's this one part in the roundhouse where it's just all just vacant, right? And I sit in there one day, I was like, I wonder why it's so vacant, and he comes over and he goes, well, I guess I'll let you sit there, Mondo. And I was wondering why he just guessed he'd let me sit there. So next you know, they open the door, here come all the women. Going around the circle, and then he came all right behind me. And I was like, should I? No, now I know why he guessed. All the women that, you know, helped cook, clean, you know, took care of the kids, you know, they all came sat by me, you know. But being able to experience the big heads, I mean, I wish that they would open the roundhouse up to experience, but I know they can't. But, you know, in my dream, in my vision, that would be so nice, because you guys would be able to see the old way of our of how we dance and you know, like how they put that on. I mean, they're so powerful. This one time I was at a dance, this big head, this guy was falling into the fire, right, his head all the way into the fire, and he came back and not one feather was burned. In my own eyes, I seen it. I was like from here to Sandy. And I was just, try to grab a whole bunch of pennies. I just start dancing. It was just so beautiful. Like, that's how powerful it was. And when he came out of that fire, and he was in there, and he came out, and all those, you know, like I said, 200 of those big, huge, long sticks, not one feather was burned. And it was just amazing to me. It was like, okay. And everybody just got up and danced. The captain, all right, everybody get up and dance. You guys seen that?
Yep.
Everybody got up, threw pennies in, and just the whole roundhouse was like, oh. But we danced from one day for 4 days. We end at 12 o'clock that fourth day. Everybody's just tired, you know. Amazing. And that's just the Lake County style. Then we go to the coast style, where they have the same big head, but it's not as elaborate, and it's not as detailed. But there's so much power, you know, the big heads come out. And like I said, that first warm-up song I sang, that was for the big heads. And then the big heads come out, and they're just, you know, they're really strong. But in the coast, the women are really dominant over there. The women are the real weyas, the real doctors. Like when I go get doctored, if I can't doctor myself or something's going on, I took something from a patient and I can't, you know, release it, I'll go see these women doctors, and usually I'll have two work on me, so that they'll really take what I have off of me, you know. And sometimes in massage therapy, you pick up stuff too, you know, from people, pick up people's pain, you know. And sometimes you don't really know. So when I sing, and I have all the boys dancing, I have the girls down here, I always make sure. I want you guys to know. I want the crowd to know that the women are the strongest in our tribe. That's why they're out there holding the space for us, allowing us to dance, allowing the men to dance. So the women are the strongest, and so they have dream dresses. A lot of powerful women over there. You know, the late Elsie Parrish was a really strong doctor. You know, my grandpa used to tell me stories, you know, about how she used to doctor in that roundhouse. You know, and then I seen a video, and I said, how the hell did they get that video? They had a video through the peephole. On YouTube? Oh, no. But that's all whoever did that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's their own creation. I hate to be around them at night. Else, you know, he better turn that video off. Right. No. But.
And Mabel McCabe?
Mm-hmm, you know? Yeah. She was from Lake County. You know? Oh, that's where her bloodline came. But then she came over here, and she started working with Elsie.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I read. I don't really know too much about her, but from Greg Zaris's book, I read a little bit about it online. You know, on Amazon, they give you a little preview. You can read the book a little bit. and so I got to read a little bit about that. But, you know, in this whole walk, you know, it's like getting to understand all the doctors. All the Indian doctors, you know, it's like I have my Indian doctors, but the Indian doctors from this specific part of the region, it's really nice to start to learn more and read more about them, you know, and how they did the work and how strong they were and strong in their beliefs. Like they knew and they know already that there was a spirit out there or that person had something that they need to be worked on, and this is how they did it, you know. And so in Point Arena, the Point Arena big house, our roundhouse, we didn't have any anthropologists. This is my grandfather told me. He said, they didn't have anthropologists there. They didn't invite them in there, so a lot of our dances aren't exposed. But I mean, for me, I'm like, my grandfather is the fire keeper. And so when he's tired, I got to go in there. Okay, grandpa, I'll duck this now. You know, and I start doing the fire.
And then later on, they ask me to come sing, and they ask me to come dance. And there's certain dances that we do as male. There's a dance where we don't have anything on. I mean, just, you know, we have shorts and underwear on. You know, we can't go yami all the time. But then we have a whistle, and we just dance like that, just playing. And that's just showing the strength of the man. No flicker band, no hidden identity, anything. This is who we are. We're dancing for the people. We're dancing for the way. We're dancing for the medicine. We're ensuring the medicine for the next generation, because those younger boys are watching us. And they're always watching us, those little guys. And so then we have the star dance, where it's a star, and it's made out of cloth. And these women, again, man, they're so powerful, man. They make me cry sometimes when I see all these beautiful dresses out there at once. No male, just all dresses. And they just, I mean, just imagine they just going around like this, the ribbons. And they're going around, and when the high note comes up, they just blessing the people in the crowd like this. You know? And and around the fire, you know, it's just really, really nice. And this is the Point Arena Roundhouse, you know? And we do strawberry festivals, we do acorn festivals, like this weekend up in Peshawar, there's an acorn festival. And they invited me, so I'm going to bring these up there. Be first time they're dancing that roundhouse, and I said there's a certain protocol that I got to do before I even open these feathers. So like when I take my suitcase, I got to walk around the fire four times, pay the pool, and then say a prayer and take my stuff out. And so that's like introducing my feathers to that roundhouse. A certain protocol that we do. But yeah, I want to sing that dream dress song for the women. And when I sing that song, I want you guys just imagine yourself. Just dancing, hey, no, hey, no, hey, like that. Just close your eyes, imagine yourself dancing around fire. And you men, just imagine yourself just sitting there just watching those women in a good way, you know. And when I sing the high note, just, you know, lift your arms up if you want. And you just feel yourself just spreading that love like you guys do all the time, you know. Compassion, selflessness, love, just giving it to all of us. Because if it wasn't for you women... Man, if it wasn't for my mom, I don't know. You know. She was strong, you know. God bless her soul. She was on the other side. So just, you know, imagine yourself just dancing with the beat of the clack and just lifting up and going around that roundhouse. And if you can get there, you're there. You're already there in that roundhouse. That means that you soul traveled all the way to that roundhouse. Be honored. There's that big fire, and that fire... When us human beings look at that fire, that's a heart. That's the heart of our people. That's the heart of our way. That's the heart of our medicine. That's the heart of every human being, because that was what they used to say. That was the first TV, right? We all gathered around. We all told stories.
HD, baby.
Right? That's the first TV right there. But it's in our heart. It's in our heart. So you, when you close your eyes, just think of yourself just going like this, okay? Oh. No, 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 Yeah, and so that feeling that you feel, that feeling, that, that goodness inside your heart right now, you're feeling that, that's Weya. That's what we call Weya. And so, you know, Sandy asked me the other day, so what is Weya? And I said, well, because I know she studies Zen. And she's, and I said, well, it's the equivalency to Qi. You know, so, like Weya is like Qi, that, that, you know, we know we have it inside of us. You know, but we just can't really, you know, us humans, we want to see it on a physical level. We always want to see everything on a physical level. So that Weya, you feel that good Weya, you know, inside of you. You know, when you really feel good about yourself, when you really start doing the work, you know, it's like you manifest it. Ah, it's good. Just bring it up, create that fire. So I think that's pretty much about it. I don't know if you want. If you want to do Q&A, or I just want to say one thing before I end my presentation is right now in the Pomo Nation, we're trying to teach our children empowerment. We're trying to let them understand that they have choices. We're trying to let them understand that it's not back in the 50s, and it's not back in the 60s or in the 20s. It's 2010. We have to keep up the technology. We have a lot of good resources out there right now for our Native American children, you know. And I always say that we're starting to wake up now. You know, the Pomo men are starting to wake up now. You know, back in the day, it was okay to get drunk and get high until you're 50. You know, nowadays, man, you're 30 years old. Your mom say, "Hey, get up, man. You go get a job. There's a whole bunch of opportunity out there." You know, so we're all starting to wake up. And. And last night was really good. This Indian brother from Lake County called me, and me and him used to get tuned up a long time ago together, you know. And he said, "You know, Mondo, I got 30 days sober, and man, I feel good." He goes, "I only went in for 4 days because the tribe told me to go in 4 days sober, then we'll send you to go get your heavy equipment license." He goes, "I went in there for 4 days. I felt so good." He said, "I'll try another 4 days. And then another 4 days. And then another 4 days. You got 30 days. And he goes, "I want to go to another rehab." I said, "You do that, bro." I said, "I'll send you some cigarettes, you know." He said, "Oh, man, I ain't got no money, but I want to go to rehab." I said, "Shit, I'll send you some smokes, you know." So what I'm saying is that we're waking up, you know. But the Indian people, the Indian children get to see that now. So hopefully they won't start abusing drugs and alcohol at a young age and keep going until they're 50. Hopefully it'll become a norm where they stop drinking when they're 22. That'd be a good thing in mind, because like I said, Indians aren't designed. We aren't designed to consume alcohol. Too much sugar in that. We didn't have a lot of sugar. We had natural sugar. There's a lot of pure sugar, you know. That's why the elders say that's the alcohol spirit running around. You look in that bottle, next thing you know, you see a corner of your eye, that spirit jump out around, you know. That's just the old ones, but, you know, like I say, that, you know, us male role models, we're starting to take our responsibility now. We're starting to walk the walk and talk the talk. You know, I'm 31 years old, and I've been gifted with this ability to help heal and to help speak from the heart and to be real. And that's what I always say, is just be real. You know, and a really good teacher, I've never met him before, but a really good teacher of mine is John Trudell. You know, I got his descendant now ancestor audio tape. If you ever get a chance to listen to that, that man tells it real like it is, you know. I mean, it's just, and I never met him, but one day he will come here and have a speech. He will come here to Sebastopol and speak for the Pomo Honoring Month. That's my dream. Mm. He will come here and be real with us. You know? Cool. And I'll be sitting there, you know, because I want him to come here. He's a really powerful man. He's helped me understand sometimes. I'm like, man, why is it like that? Why? And he always says, they're mining us. Get out of that. You know?
Yeah.
They're mining us. This is what they designed this. You know, and he goes, you can never... He said... You can never create a revolution on hate towards the aggressor. The only way you can defeat that is the love of the people. If you love the people, there's non-restriction. You just go right into it and get what you want. Mm-hmm. But the hate attracts that negativity towards the aggressor. No, for the love of the people, you know. So I want to end that, and I want to thank you guys so much for listening to me. And I'm trying to understand the medicine. I know it was a real quick overview of our way of life, but now, you know, a little bit will ring next time you see a feather dancer. Next time you see one of the little guys go, "Oh yeah, that," or
or if you see some pepperwood, or if you see some angelica, you know, or if you see a clacker, oh, I remember that. Well, thank you guys again. I know, you know, it takes a lot for the elders to come out, you know, especially late at night, you know. Good thing it's hot and not raining.
That's right. That's right.
It'd just be me and Sandy. No. Just not and just say we did. So again, I want to thank you guys.
Thank you.